Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and from his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Life is a game of joy and despair, a game of pain and gain, of wonder and blunder, and we experience all these when God chooses to bless us with a child. And maybe we can use that blessing to come to a better understanding of just what a wonderful Father our God is for us. Our text this morning does come from the lesson just read from St. John chapter 16. Jesus talks about a little sorrow and a great joy. Sounds a lot like being a parent. Is there anything more fun than having your baby and you take his hands and you spread them out wide and you say loud enough for him and everybody else in earshot, "So big," and then you fold his hands back in and then fold them out and go, "So big." You know, being a dad is a pretty good deal, and it's a lot of fun. But did you know there are some other early childhood games that we should be playing with our infants? Let's look back to the text. What childhood game does Jesus' statement remind you of? "A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again, a little while, and you will see me." Sounds to me a lot like peekaboo. You know, peekaboo. Well, according to experts, everywhere in the world, parents play peekaboo with their children. And it's a major discovery of life, a cornerstone in human development. What cornerstone? It's when we realize that something is there even when you can't see it, that the world is not defined by your subjective perception, and there is something that absolutely is, whether you know of it or not. Object permanence is the understanding that objects continue to exist even when they can't be seen, heard, or touched. Now, this is a fundamental understanding studied in the field of developmental psychology, the significant subfield of psychology that pertains to infants and children's social development and with their mental capacities. So, how many of you in here have taken a course on how to peekaboo? Well, I don't want to make light of it because there probably are websites that you can go to that will have all sorts of stuff on the proper parental peekaboo playtime procedures and protocols. Well, I like to think that God just made us to understand what our children are going to need when we're raising them up. But what does this have to do with our text? The disciples didn't understand what Jesus was trying to tell them. Now, this incident in John 16 occurred after the Last Supper, while our Lord was in the garden with his disciples on the way to his time of suffering and death. "A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again, a little while, and you will see me." Peekaboo. The disciples were as clueless as a baby. Jesus was telling them that in a little while, I'm going to be dead and in the grave. But then again, in just 3 more days, I am going to be resurrected from the dead. Christ was trying to give them a crash course in object permanence. Peekaboo. The disciples were just totally clueless. But Jesus promised them that they were about to experience heart-wrenching despair and then experience a joy beyond comprehension. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy." Why will there be anguish and then joy? Because Jesus was about to be led off to pay the only acceptable price for our sinful and corrupt lives. The wages of sin are death, and he was willing to pay that for us. Now, death brings anguish. It brought it to the disciples, and it's brought it to many of us here today. But this side of Christ's return, death surrounds us, and we can't escape the pain that accompanies it. But this will only last a little while, because Christ is risen. And we have been united to his resurrection, and there is a joy, complete and total joy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the disciples relied on Jesus just as a baby relies on its parents. With the baby, mom and dad don't exist if he can't see them. Now, Jesus had been warning his disciples repeatedly on that last journey to Jerusalem that he would be killed and that he would be resurrected. Was Jesus being too subtle? He'd been warning them for quite a while in Matthew 16:21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And this is just one of many examples. You know, aren't there times you just wonder how obtuse the disciples really were? I mean, you ever get the feeling they weren't the brightest bulbs on the Christmas tree, if you know what I mean? But they could not envision the gruesome, bloody death that Jesus knew was coming soon. They closed their eyes, and just as he had said, when they opened them again at the foot of the cross, their eyes were full of tears of despair. Had Jesus told them what was going to happen? Yeah. Did they remember what was going to happen? No. Peekaboo, I don't see you. So much for the disciples' understanding of objective permanence. Let me give you that definition again, and this is good, to realize that something is there even when you can't see it, that the world is not defined by your subjective perception, that there is something that absolutely is, whether you know it or not. Object permanence is the understanding that objects continue to exist even when they can't be seen, heard, or touched. That sounds a lot like faith, doesn't it? So faith is not just believing what we see. We believe in the reality of what we don't see as well. Is it any wonder that Jesus told Thomas, "Blessed are they that do not see yet believe"? Friends, faculty, and fellow seminarians, we need to acknowledge the fact that, like the disciples, we too can lose track of Jesus. Even though he's always right there in front of us, we don't always see him. Right here in this chapel of St. Timothy and Titus, we may all receive an object lesson in the visibility of Christ. Do you remember the first time you came in to the sanctuary? You sit there and you see this beautiful altar, and you're crowned by that beautiful stained glass window behind it. But to a casual observer who's sitting down where you are, they might be looking around saying, "Yeah, but where's that great big cross that you normally find in a church? You know, it should be right there in the middle. It should be great big, and we should all easily see it." And for that matter, what's with the processional cross? Where is it? Guess what? Peekaboo! Jesus is there, and so is the cross, and so is the processional cross. This is just happens to be made out of a transparent material, but it is real, and it's darn heavy, too. Trust me on that. Okay, and then again, now the cross, at first glance, you don't see a cross, do you? But yet, if you look carefully at the beautiful picture, you've got Titus and Timothy just slightly right of center there's something hanging there. And you start to take a look, and you know what? Pretty soon, you get to spot it. Now, we all know what it is, right? But do you remember your surprise the first time you saw the cross hanging there? Now, after almost 4 years, I almost never see that cross anymore. And maybe it's my slowly diminishing eyesight, but I don't think so. It simply can't compete with the brightness of the stained glass that dominates our senses. Now, question. Do we at times lose sight of Jesus and his cross, even here at the seminary? I think we can. We spend so much of our time here studying theology, church history, homiletics, and other interesting distractions that we can lose sight of what brought us here. We can get so wrapped up in church that we don't see its head, Jesus Christ. We do see vicarage assignments, and I can guarantee you that the concluding class members saw this great big stained glass window that we're gonna call day. Now, perhaps our self-centered concerns about the future caused our focus on Christ to at least get blurred. Friends, it's not a matter of even seminarians, professors, and pastors can lose sight of Jesus Christ. It's a matter that we all can, and we all will lose sight of him from time to time. How long does Christ say he'll be out of sight? Just a little while. What will he do for us a little while after that? He promises us this: I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one can take your joy from you. Christ died for us. He did go away for a little while. The world rejoiced, but only for a little while. Those who follow the risen Christ will know joy, a joy that no one can take away, and it is eternal. On the other hand, the world will be like the infant who cries when mom and dad are out of sight because the baby feels abandoned. But this isn't a game, and it isn't just a feeling. They will be left all alone, and their despair will be eternal. Friends, our Heavenly Father knows that a proper game of peekaboo should always end with a peekaboo. I see you. Peekaboo. Christ doesn't ever close his eyes or turn his back on his children. He's always right there, wherever you are, and he's waiting patiently for us to see him. And in him, our joy will be complete. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.